Stone & Company is delivered about is delivered by TriStar Moving, streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live. Thanks to the law offices of Amanda Gentry, live from the Hillside Medical Game Studios. I'm bummed out. I'm depressed. I woke up. I started the show today at 2 o'clock. By the way, here's a secret for everybody out there. We know that most of the people listening at 5 o'clock weren't listening at 2 o'clock. So we spent the 2 o'clock hour complaining about the right tackle position.
Uh-huh. And we're probably going to do that in the 5 o'clock hour.
Probably going to be the gist of the 5 o'clock hour.
We did that a good bit in the 4:45 segment as well.
I was so depressed when I woke up this morning because I just kept thinking about the right tackle situation that the Titans have put themselves in. And we had Trevor Maddich on. And when it comes to in this town, I think most people, and I'm not sitting here trying to talk about myself, but that's what this is going to sound like. It's going to sound very conceited, so I'm just preparing everybody for this ahead of time.
Okay.
I feel like this is kind of the show of record that a lot of people hear things from, and then they start talking about, can you believe that so-and-so said such-and-such? It feels like the pace car for a lot of the discussions around town about the Titans. Maybe I'm just sniffing my own farts. I don't know.
Ew.
But that is, you know, what
I like to think so.
There you go.
I like to think we stir stuff around.
So, anywho, Trevor Maddich, in my opinion, is probably the number one expert on this in this town. He played tackle in the NFL. He played guard in the NFL. He played center in the NFL. He was drafted in the first round. He's called NFL games. He was calling Tom Brady's games as a rookie. He knows all these guys from college. You all listen to him talk. You know he knows what he's talking about. And so as I was depressed about the tackle position, and again, this is a very important position, as I was depressed about the tackle position, I at least was thinking to myself, maybe Trevor will have some sort of a silver lining.
Did you think that he would?
I can only ask the man for his thoughts. I can't opine on what they're going to be, even though we were texting during the Buccaneers game, so I had a pretty good idea of what he was going to say. So I asked him, I told him about my worry of the right tackle position, how I look at the Titans, and I feel like the Titans have a good team. I feel like it's a solid team. I feel like they're well-coached. I feel like they have great effort. I feel like they've got a strong defense. I think they have consistency in important spots. They may have the best running back in the NFL, maybe the best player in the NFL, and Derrick Henry. The window should be open. But I keep thinking about that right tackle spot. I'm worried about the right tackle spot. Trevor, should I be worried about the right tackle spot? Here's what he said. Please make me feel better about the right tackle position. Trevor, your analysis after the Buccaneers game.
My analysis is I am not going to make you feel better about the right tackle position.
Oh, no.
This is the wrong time for the NFL to be going with 3 preseason games instead of 4 because this team needs that 4th preseason game, both to get Malik Willis more work and to get whoever's going to be starting at right tackle more work, assuming that that guy's on the roster right now. I don't know that he is, and keep this in mind too, that if they bring in somebody off of somebody else's cuts, that's the guy who couldn't even make their team at the 4th tackle position. You got 2 starters at tackle. You're likely to have 2 guys backing them up, right? That's 4 tackles that most teams will carry. And then they're going to cut everybody else. So the guy that may be starting for Tennessee this year may be the 5th tackle that somebody else cut off of their roster. Because I'll tell you what, there was absolutely nothing in the performance of either young guy, Radens or Petit Frere, that gave you much confidence that you're going to have a solid right tackle after the Buccaneers game.
Oh, no. Oh, no. And so that...
Everything about it is depressing.
I told the story yesterday. I've told this story 1,000 times, and I feel like I've told this story 1,000 times because this just keeps being an issue. But when I got hired in April of 2015, which feels like it was 5 minutes ago, but really it was almost a decade ago. When I got hired in April of 2015, about a week into working here, George Plaster and Willie were on vacation. So Floyd didn't have anybody to work with him. So they asked me if I'd do the show with him, and I said yes. And we were in the conference room down the hall, and we were just shooting the breeze. It was me and Floyd and the producer at the time, Ryan Porth. And we were just kind of shooting the breeze, and I didn't really know Floyd that well. And so I asked him, you know, just kind of breaking, you know, bread. I said, hey, you know, Titans going to be any good this year? And he looks at me and he goes, we don't have a right tackle. And I'm like, it's a pretty important position, huh? He's like, right tackle? And I was like, yeah. He's like, yeah.
It's pretty important.
You need a right tackle. And so now here I am, and it's like I feel good about the Titans. I really do. Like, I think they have a solid camp. Like, Tannehill has been very impressive in training camp. The defense, we all know, is going to be good. Jeffrey Simmons playing for a contract. He's on a mission. I mean, this team, they got the reigning coach of the year. Derrick Henry's healthy. I mean, God, yes. And Trevor, should I be worried about right tackle? Yes. And not only that, they did this to themselves. They could. This isn't like one of these teams that lives in the quarterback abyss every year, and it's like, we've tried everything. We tried, like Miami. We tried Jay Fiedler. We tried Ryan Tannehill. We tanked to be bad, and we won too many games, and we couldn't get Joe Burrow, so we have Tua, even though we screwed up on Herbert. We tried. It's like, they had David Quessenberry at right tackle last year, started every game, started half the games the year before at left tackle. They had David Quessenberry, and he's not an all-pro, no matter what Pro Football Focus says. He's not an all-pro, but at least he can play right tackle. And all they had to do as a restricted free agent was tender him a contract for $2.2 million, and they didn't. And they didn't go out. They didn't go after Morgan Moses. They didn't go after Dwayne Brown. They didn't go... You know, they were on the clock, and I don't think this pinning for New Orleans is doing very well in training camp, but I don't know.
He's been kicked out of several practices.
So apparently, well, you know, Vrabel, though, might be the right coach to kind of get that in check, but that's neither here nor there. They could have taken a right tackle mm-hmm. with that 18th pick because there was a tackle available. They didn't. They thought they were going to go into training camp with Dylan Raiden. He was going to win the job.
Well, and I have several different frustrations with this entire right tackle situation. One, the fact that they drafted Dylan Raiden in the second round and he can't even sniff the field.
You know what's crazy about that take, though?
What?
Like, that might be 19th on my list of the problems with all of this.
Well, I have several. Two, the fact that if Dylan Raiden didn't work out, they don't have another option. The fact that they didn't go into the season thinking, hey, it hasn't been great this year with Dylan Raiden's, but we want him to win the job. We're going to give him the opportunity to win the job, and that's only fair. But we're at least going to go pick up somebody that can come fill in this spot if Dylan Raiden's doesn't work out. Three, it's deja vu all over again.
Only it's worse.
We've talked about the offensive line and the lack of depth at the offensive line and the fact that there have been scrubs on this Titans offensive line.
No disrespect since I've to Quessenberry.
No disrespect to Quessenberry or any other scrubs that have been on this offensive line. Bobby Hart.
No disrespect to Bobby Hart.
No disrespect to Bobby Hart.
To Trevor's point, I'd be killing for Buffalo to cut Bobby Hart. I think they're going to. Trevor's right. He's their fifth tackle. And I'm sitting here waiting.
And he's going to be the Titans' second.
Yes, I am waiting for them to cut Bobby Hart so that they can re-sign Bobby Hart and they can put Bobby Hart at right tackle.
You know you're in a sticky situation when your fingers are crossed and your hopes and prayers all end with the fifth best tackle on someone else's team.
I just keep wanting to go back to those meetings. We all watch Hard Knocks. We all see them sit around the room. They're all sitting there. They all got snacks and Miller Lights and Diet Pepsi in front of them. And they've all got, there's like these, you know, it's a big, like think about like a conference room in a hotel. Uh-huh. And it's like a big conference room with these huge tables and everybody's sitting there and they all look like they're 96 years old, even though they're in their like late 50s.
Well, it's because they work 23 hours a day.
And they're out there on the sun and the practice field and they're, you know, and they go around the room and the general manager sitting at the top of the table is like, what do you think about Bobby? Well, let me tell you, you know, Bobby's got good hand placement. You know, his pad level's getting better. You know, what we really want to see him do in the game is we really want to see him take that out to the field and really work on the techniques that we've been working on in practice. He's making good practice. He's making good progress, Coach. But will he be ready? You know, we'll have to see. I want to see how he plays in the game on Saturday. You know, like we've all seen that, right?
Yeah.
Like at some point in their personnel meetings, and this is where I'm going to give Coach Turbo, Keith Carter, a little bit of a break here because he's not a personnel guy. He's a coach. in their personnel meetings, they sat around the room, a group of them, sat around the table and said, do we need to go after a veteran tackle just in case it doesn't work out with Dylan? No.
No.
And now look where they are. In fact, this was Trevor talking about Raidens and how bad it is. The Titans have already moved him to guard. You know, he was playing guard yesterday in practice. Here was Trevor on Raidens. Your thoughts on Dylan Raidens' performance?
Oh, my gosh. Overall, you know, Malik Willis, certainly in the first half, didn't have any time to throw. And even Logan Woodside, of course, that was a different group of people and everything else, didn't have time either. But overall, that offensive line just got shredded in pass protection. And when you watch individually Dylan Raidens, in this game, you can make a case that he did a little bit better because there were fewer times when he just whiffed. He whiffed a couple of times. One of them was turned into one of Malik Willis's best throws, where Willis had pressure. He stepped up and threw the ball kind of sidearm on a rope and completed the pass. It was a really nice, I think it was to Dez. It was a really nice throw. But one of the reasons he had to do that was because Raidens let his guy come inside and just blasted right past him. It was just awful. But even when he was in front of guys, unlike Petit Ferrere, who seemed to hold his own physically, Raidens, even when he seems to win a pass protection rep, gets tossed around, and he's hanging on for dear life. It's like a little bitty dog grabs onto a much bigger animal and holds on while that animal's, you know, like a bulldog, say, grabs onto a bull, and the bull's just flopping him every which way. Well, you know, in the NFL, you just can't be doing that, because when you get tossed around like Raidens tends to, you're using 100% of your capability physically just to not get pushed back on roller skates, and that opens the door for all kinds of moves from the better NFL pass rushers.
Can you imagine if Trevor was in these meetings, these personnel meetings that they were having last year, when they decided not to go after a veteran right tackle? They decided not, and I'm not asking for a good veteran right tackle. I'm just asking for a veteran right tackle that, hey, man, if he has to start, it's like Joe Flacco with the Jets. If Joe Flacco has to start, Joe Flacco can start.
Fine.
Like, they're going to suck, but it does. You know what? If he has to start, he has to start. Can you imagine if they went over around the room and they were like, so what do you think? Do you think we need to add, or do you think we're good with going into the season hoping that Dylan will win the job? Well, you know, he looks like he's out on roller skates out there trying to block people. I mean, my goodness. I asked him the best part at the beginning of that cut. Can we get the very, very, very beginning of that cut again? Just Trevor's reaction when I asked him about Raidens. Your thoughts on Dylan Raidens' performance.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay.
Oh, my gosh. He's like, okay, where do I start? Because I have a million things that I have to say. First and foremost, he looks like a Broadway bachelorette on a mechanical bull out there.
Why? That's actually pretty funny. Why do the Titans do this to us? Why?
But that's what my question is why? Did
why?
They feel like they didn't need to add any sort of insurance or depth?
Morgan
pieces?
Moses.
Why?
David Questenberry. Dennis Kelly was out there for forever. When did Dennis Kelly sign with the Colts? I want to say Dennis Kelly signed on like June 12th. I don't believe in the salary cap. But they have $11 million in salary cap space. There's no way Dennis Kelly is making any money for the Colts.
May 10th.
Oh, God. They signed Dennis Kelly after the draft and after the Kentucky Derby. Take your phones. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. By the way, there is a veteran tackle that the Titans could get their hands on. How available is he? We'll get to that next. Stillman & Company, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
My understanding is the Patriots have brought his name up to other teams and not the other way around. I think it's going to be tough to find somebody who's willing to take a lump sum, $10.4 million. There aren't a lot of teams that have that much room to play with right now. You know, and then, you know, what sort of capital are you giving up for a guy who you don't have signed past this year? So I think if they were going to get rid of Isaiah Wynn, it would be pretty much a straight salary dump that would give them, again, that sort of space that they usually want to have to churn their roster in season.
There you go. Albert Breer, NBC Sports Boston, I guess he's with the Monday Morning Quarterback, but that was him on NBC Sports Boston. The Patriots want to dump Isaiah Wynn, their right tackle, who has started at left tackle, I believe, over the last 3 years. Now, he's had some injury problems, but Isaiah Wynn has made 33 starts in the last 3 years, which would be very welcome on the Titans' offensive line right now that is really, outside of the three main guys, is really devoid of experience. And so Isaiah Wynn is $10 million. You heard what Albert Breer said right there. They want to dump him. They want to dump that $10 million. And they know that if they call the Titans and they say, hey, would you like to trade for Isaiah Wynn? They know the Titans. If the Titans are going to say yes, one, they're not going to get anything in return. So it might be for ratings, you know, just a pile of crap for, you know, whatever. And, you know, a conditional sixth round pick that becomes a seventh if the guy doesn't start 15 games or whatever. Nothing, basically, but the Titans take on the salary. But they also know that if they call, the Titans are not going to take on the – if you're so desperate to get rid of this $10 million guy, I'm not going to take on the $10 million. I'm not taking the $10 million.
Yeah.
So either it's going to be a three-way discussion, which is, do you want to come to the Titans and do you want to start at right tackle? And if you want to come to the Titans and you do want to start at right tackle, then you're going to have to take $2 or $3 million pay cut from your $10 million. Now, no state income tax in the state of Tennessee. And you get the opportunity to play. And as we know how this league is. It's a what have you done for me lately league. Mm-hmm. If Isaiah Wynn plays right tackle for the Titans and he plays 17 games and Derrick Henry wins his third rushing title in 4 years and the Titans make it to the AFC Championship game, Isaiah Wynn, a former first-round pick who played on that offensive line, is going to get a four-year deal at $16.5 million a season. And so his life will be set if he has a good year for 1 year playing here with the Titans. So he's got to take a little bit of a pay cut. And the Patriots, you picked up that fifth-year option. You're going to have to eat a little bit of that cash too. So maybe the Titans pay $4.5 million, $5 million. The Patriots and Wynn work it out between a pay cut, similar to what Baker did with Carolina. Mm. Carolina's paying half. Cleveland's paying some. Baker took a little bit of a pay cut.
Right.
That may be what has to happen. Would you entertain the idea, even though I asked Jim Murray, the host of one of the hosts of Felger and Maz in Boston, I asked Jim Murray, is he any good? Jim Murray said, oh, he stinks. Undersized, always hurt, and kind of a word I can't say on the radio. Would you still be interested if Belichick called and said he'd be willing to work on something to get an Isaiah Wynn deal done?
See, I struggle with this because on one hand, I would say no, because the Titans have enough offensive linemen who aren't very good or are always hurt or are kind of a blank. But then on the other hand, do the Titans
really... We'll say softy.
Got it.
Softy.
Kind of a softy. Softy.
Yeah.
Kind of a baby. But also on the other hand, can the Titans be picky? At this point, do the Titans just need to bring in bodies? Do they just need to bring in veterans that they know can at least play the position?
So the Titans have $11 million in cap space. Not that I care about those things, because they can always create
more. They can always create more.
But this seems like the kind of player who I, if I owned the team, or if I ran the team, I would not be personally willing to redo a Derrick Henry, a Robert Woods, or a Taylor Lewan contract in order to absorb Isaiah Wynn on the team. So he's got to come in at about $4.5 million. Mm-hmm. And this decision may cost you Brett Kern. Like, this might be where, in order to do this and feel good about in case there's an injury. Now, if I'm calling the shots, Kern's the punter. This Stonehouse kid, he can go to the practice squad. But he is not the punter. Kern is the punter. I'm not going into a season where I'm probably at the end of a window and flipping around with the punter. You know, I mean, I am putting my guy back out
forever.
There. Right. He can put the ball at the six-yard line.
You can
trust him. He's not great anymore like he once was, but he's good enough. And I am not screwing around with a new holder.
He's going to drop a snap.
Like he did the other night. I don't. He punted a ball from like the 20 and kicked it out of the end zone. And I'm like, that's not a good punt. Like, punt the ball inside the 13-yard line. I'm not asking you to put it at the two. I'm asking you to pit that ball down in the corner and put it at the 13, put it at the 16. Don't just give it to him at the 20. So, and not the Stonehouse kid has a lot of talent. Nothing against him. But obviously, right tackle is more important than punter. Would it be worth it? Now, see, I'm still going to keep Kern either way. But if Belichick called, I would tell Bill, you and him have to get this number down to $3.5 million for me. And I'd be willing, I wouldn't tell Bill this, but I'd be willing to take $4.5 million. So they've got $11 million in cap space. Mm-hmm. I think if they take a $4.5 million hit,
they'll be okay.
Right now, that leaves six and a half. And so that's enough if somebody gets hurt throughout the course of the year to go sign other guys and screw around with whatever you want on the cap. And then if you have to redo Derrick Henry's contract or you have to redo Robert Woods' contract, they can if they want to. And I'm not giving the Patriots anything good in return. Like, honestly, I would offer Raiden some return. Just so it's like, he's going to come in to be my right tackle. And, you know, Dylan was a good kid and he worked hard and we love him very much. He's a good, versatile lineman. But it wasn't going to work out here. So we just send him off to New England.
But the New England would probably want something else. Like a late round draft pick. Raiden's, they're going to eat salary and take the offensive lineman that you don't want?
Yes.
It doesn't seem like a great deal for them.
Because they're not going to eat the whole salary.
They're going to eat part of it.
So if I'm doing, what did I say, $4.5 million?
$4.5 million max.
Okay, so I'm doing $4.5 million.
Uh-huh.
So now they're at $5.5 million.
Yes.
So now he's going to have to take a little something. You know, let's say $2 million.
Uh-huh.
So now they're at $3.5 million. So the Titans just basically gave them $6 million in salary space.
I guess that's true because they're saving money on his salary.
And this guy might not be any good. And so
Well, they're wanting to get rid of him.
Yes. They're not wanting anything in return. And they know that they're not going to get out of the $10 million hole. They may get a little bit out of the $10 million hole, but they're not going to get completely out of the wasted $10 million that they already feel like they have. With Raiden's, they can probably spin it as, you know, hey, he's a good, versatile offensive lineman that just didn't have a chance in Tennessee. And with our coaches, you know, we really feel like he can come in and fit what we're trying to do and go Patriots. And then
they can probably see through that.
After about, yeah. I mean, again, Albert Breer's telling everybody they're looking for a salary dump.
Yeah.
And then after, you know, 6 months, cut him and cut Dylan. And then they move on and they move on without Isaiah Wynn and whatever. That may be. I think I'd be interested in that. Even though Jim Murray gave me a horrendous scouting report, desperate times call for desperate measures.
And that's why I go back to, I don't want any more bad players, but you cannot be picky at this point.
They cannot run Ben Harper out at right tackle.
You can't be picky.
They cannot do that. So that's where they are.
Ben Harper.
I did promise your phones, I think, last segment. Now I promise your phones next. 615. Did I promise phones last segment?
Yeah, you did, but that's okay.
But I said that we were going to talk about Isaiah Wynn too, right?
Yeah.
I teased that we were going to talk about Isaiah Wynn, right?
I think so, yeah.
Okay, good. Phone's next. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. We'll write to him next. Stillman & Company, 1025-1063, the game. If Mike Vrabel told you, Trevor, I am going to put Nicholas Petit-Frere at right tackle. I'm going to let him learn on the job. And we've got Von Miller in week 2 and Max Crosby or Chandler Jones with the Raiders in week 3. What would you say to Mike Vrabel?
Run the ball. Run the ball, because he'd still be in trouble over there against those guys. Really, really, you know, veteran NFL tackles have trouble against those guys. But because of the nature of this offense and pounding it downhill, really the best way to slow down a pass rusher is to run the ball right at him. Mm-hmm. And Petit-Frere is a guy that can swallow up one of those pass rushers that needs to hold his gap. I mean, when you're running the ball at a guy like that, he can't run around the block because he'll end up creating a hole just because he ran around the block. And so you got to take on the blocker. So that helps. Raiden's same way, by the way, because he as a run blocker, shows more promise than he does as a pass blocker. But if it's Petit-Frere, this is your question, to be the starter and have to face those guys early in the season, then – you know, if the running game doesn't work, they're in a whole lot of trouble because then they will have to take somebody out of the pass pattern. They'll have to put a tight end over there. They'll have to chip. They'll have to do something to give him support. And that hurts the rest of the passing game. So really, the status and the productivity of the right tackle position, no matter who's there, one of the two young guys on the roster now or somebody else, is really going to depend a lot about how well they run the ball to the right.
That was Trevor earlier today. What would your advice be? Yannick Ngakoue, Max Crosby, Von Miller. Congrats to Nicholas Petit-Ferrer. That's who you have the first couple of weeks. Trevor, run the ball, babe.
T's and P's.
Run the ball. Phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHunter.com, 615-737-1025. Let me say this before I get to the phones. We will watch them practice against the Cardinals.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see how Petit-Ferrer does tomorrow. Now, they were supposed to have two practices against the Cardinals. They're only going to have one practice against the Cardinals, which is disconcerting. But I don't know if it's Cliff Kingsbury's doing or Vrabel's doing or whatever. But there's only going to be one practice against the Cardinals. So we'll have that. And then I would assume Petit-Ferrer's going to play in the game on Saturday. Although
I would assume so.
Normally, I wouldn't want to put him out there. If I'm putting him out there week one against the Giants, I mean, imagine if he gets hurt, then who's going to play right tackle?
But also, don't you want to give him the most experience as he possibly can if he's going to be, quote-unquote, learning on the job?
Can't play football scared.
True.
Let's go to Adam in Portland, who's up next here on the program. Go ahead, Adam.
Hey, guys. So, I love Kern. You know, let me preface this conversation by saying I love Kern. I have loved Kern the whole way. I loved Hinchard before that. I did not like the two games that we did not have Kern and realize what life could be like. However, I love the idea of trading him. Because we very rarely have somebody on our team that other people want that is exposable or expendable for us. So I like that. I don't know. Contract math is the most horrible math for me.
Plus,
so
it's
I
fake.
I don't know how it would hurt us. I don't know if it would hurt us to try to trade Bud Dupree if Rashad Weaver looks this good all the time and we can get out of Dupree. I don't know what options we have, but we've got to upgrade that tackle position, man. If somebody wanted it, and you can find a way to do it, and you got players. I know you don't like to get rid of him, but Stonehouse looks like a stud, man. Why not a guy like that?
Because I want the punter. Thank you for the call. Going back to Buffalo and Indy Week 4 and the Raiders, and if Kern is not working out for me. Now, again, his contract becomes guaranteed if he's on the team Week 1. So if he's on the team, he's on the team, and he's the punter. But if Kern is not working out for me, I can always go back and get Stonehouse.
Mm-hmm.
If Stonehouse becomes the punter, somebody is going to sign Brett Kern, and I can't go back and get Brett Kern. So if Stonehouse goes out there and craps his pants against the Buffalo Bills, now I'm screwed.
Well, and there are also far too many positions, especially on the offense, that are kind of a question mark with rookies. Burks, Petit-Ferrer.
Sure.
That if I can be comfortable with one position group, I'd rather just stay comfortable.
The special teams under Craig Aukerman, who absolutely cannot coach, the special teams unit under Aukerman has been an unmitigated disaster since before Mike Vrabel even got here. And so you're going to take the one constant on the roster that has been good for the most part since Aukerman has been running the special teams unit terribly, and you're going to get rid of him and put a rookie in there who last week didn't even catch the ball.
Yeah, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
He dropped the snap. I mean, the last time that a Titan punter tried to run against the Buccaneers, this was 2019, that Vrabel tried to fake a field goal. You remember this one, right? The fake field goal against Tampa Bay in 2019?
The Brett Kern running?
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, Devin
he
White
got lit
absolutely
up.
Just completely annihilated him. And if
that was Devin White out there on Saturday?
Killed him. Would have killed him.
Done.
I forget who the white hat was that blew the whistle in that game.
They blew the whistle and
it was one of the bad
refs. Should have been a fumble.
It should have been a Tampa Bay touchdown.
And it would have totally lost the game.
Because Kern fumbled the ball and it was a fake field goal and he's running. And so, you know, it's all fat guys that are on the field for the Titans. And so they're going to run it down into Devin White's going to pick up that football, run into the end zone for a touchdown.
They called him down or something like that.
But they blew the whistle. Yeah, they said that Kern was down, so it was turnover on downs. And they blew the whistle, and then they reviewed it, and they overturned it and said it was a clear recovery. But because they blew the whistle, he can't run into the end zone for a touchdown.
Right.
And so the Titans ended up winning the game. But it would have been – and so I don't want punters running with the ball. They don't practice running with the ball. They're not naturally good at running with the ball. They don't
That's
take
not
hits
their job.
Running with the ball.
Their job is to catch the snap.
His job was to catch it and to punt it. And so I've got Brett Kern, who's gone into playoff games and put the ball down at the one-yard line. Brett Kern ended the New England Patriots dynasty by putting the ball down at the one-yard line with 15 seconds to go. That I want that guy punting this season. I also, they don't have to. This is why they have to negotiate hard if they're going to make a trade for Isaiah Wynn, and they're going to need Isaiah Wynn to take less money. They're going to need to talk to the player, and I don't like the idea of giving back money either, but they are going to have to talk to the player, and they're going to have to tell him, hey, man, like, here's how the NFL works. You are, how old's Isaiah Wynn? 26?
No idea.
Yeah, three seasons.
I think this is his fifth season. He's on the fifth-year option, yeah.
Okay.
So 26. You are 26 years old. You are an off-injured tackle, but you played in the first round. You have a decent body, played at Georgia. Mm-hmm. You know, Jim Murray says he's undersized. I'll take his word on it. But you can play right tackle. You've played some left tackle in the NFL with the Patriots. And now, instead of losing your job to Yodney Kajust in New England, you are going to get a chance to start at right tackle on a team that has produced the rushing champion two out of the last 3 years and runs the ball on pretty much every play. The quarterback gets the ball out quick. You get a chance to start here. You're not going to make $10 million. You might only make $7 million. But if you play well for this team and this team has success,
you can stay with that team.
You will go somewhere else like Jack Conklin and you'll get $18 million a season. Mm-hmm. So do you want to bet on yourself? Because this will guarantee you playing time by making this move, because Petit Ferrer is not going to play. He is not going to play over Isaiah Wynn if the Titans trade for him. And then that's where, instead of cutting Kern with the $2 million, I'm saving the money by having him take less. And the Patriots are going to have to eat a little bit of that too. And that may be why the Titans don't make this trade. But I'm not making the trade if it means I have to take on $10 million.
No.
I'm not doing that.
Not for an oft-injured tackle.
No, not for a guy who
might be a softie.
Might be a softie. We'll use that word.
Yeah, softie. That works.
Softie. What do we have the text line?
Josh texts in and says, the offensive line in its current form could be the worst in the NFL.
No.
Tannehill won't have enough time, and Henry can only cut through to the secondary so many times.
First of all, the worst offensive line in the NFL right now, I have to believe, is going to belong to Tampa Bay.
They're dropping like flies.
I mean, that offensive
injuries.
Line, it's all injuries. Ali Marpet retired.
Uh-huh.
Alex Kappa, the other guard, went to the Bengals. Ryan Jensen, the center, tore his ACL. Aaron Stinney, and boy, I hope they're criticizing Todd Bowles for this. What the hell was he doing playing Stinney in the second half of a preseason game? Stinney's been there for 2 years. He's been in the league for 4 years. What's he doing playing if they're so bad at guard right now that Stinney has to play? I thought the Titans were going to bring Stinney back, mm-hmm. and then the Buccaneers signed him right before free agency. If Stinney is starting at guard for you this year, he started for you in the Super Bowl. If he's going to start at guard, why is he playing in the second half of a preseason game? He tears his ACL and MCL. So I hope they're just raking Todd Bowles over the coals like they would be doing if he were still in New York for that decision. So, I mean, I'd have to say Tampa Bay's probably going to have the worst offensive line in the league. And I don't know everybody else's offensive lines.
I don't know enough about offensive lines around the league.
But I'd say this. I'm sure most of the 32 teams that have offensive lines have right tackles. And the Titans don't have a right tackle. And the Titans don't have a backup right tackle. So as Trevor said last hour, the best option for the Titans at right tackle
is someone else's fifth best option.
Might be their fifth best tackle. Oh, that's so sad. What's next?
Another texter texted in and says, I don't understand how you play a position, talking about Dylan Raidens, how you play a position for 8 years, get drafted in the second round, and you can't play that position worth a damn.
I got to know what the Titans saw in this guy when they drafted him.
I mean, and combine that with the fact that he hadn't played football in a year and a half.
I meant to look this up.
And this wasn't a sixth round tackle, just, you know, let's try and just add a little bit of depth here. This was a second-round tackle for a position group that last year was also very thin.
I feel bad because it does feel like we're piling on Dylan Raidens a lot. But I did want to go back and look at what Dane Brugler had written in The Athletic, that draft guide that they publish every year. Mm-hmm. And I do wonder where he had put Dylan Raidens.
Well, when I went on my NFL mock draft of Palooza, right around the NFL draft, to look and see who was the best mock drafter.
Oh, yeah. I did text you like 6 o'clock in the morning, and I was like, hey.
Yeah, you said, I have homework for you, and it's not going to be fun.
Come up with a rating system, figure out the rating system, and figure out who the best mock drafter is, and we'll go with their opinions.
It was a fun little project, though. There was one mock draft that had Dylan Raidens going at the end of the first round.
Whose?
It was on NFL.com.
So Daniel Jeremiah?
Probably.
Oh, he's got to go.
Probably.
Oh, he's got to go. Like 30, he's got to go. 32. Yeah. He's got to go. All right. We got some more of your phone calls to get into. It's 615-737-1025. Plus, I've had an on and off relationship with Preds Twitter. And I just want everybody out there. I'll put you like this. We can go one of two ways with this. We can either go with me and Preds Twitter and a story in which I hate to tell it to you, but I was right. Or the rabbit hole that I went down with Brady with this new Dana White, Vegas Raiders, Derek Carr's the MF-er. Which one do you want to go down?
Rabbit hole.
Okay, we'll do that next. Stillman & Company, 1025, 1063, The Game.
You spend a lot of time in the Boston area. You've got a lot of sources in that area. And I don't think people realize how connected you are to that situation. So I want to go back to this. You believe the Titans and the Raiders are the two leaders in the clubhouse for Tom Brady's services. Do you think that it's more likely that he'd sign with one of those teams than return to New England? Or where do you put returning to New England in that pecking order, Jeff?
This is, we'll call it what, educated speculation?
Yeah, exactly. And that's what this time of the year is.
But yeah, if you're asking me to put odds on this thing, I say Titans and Raiders, and then I say Patriots, and then I put down the list teams like the Chargers, the Dolphins, and some of those other names. And I would put the Patriots somewhere pretty close behind, though, the Titans and the Raiders, if you're asking me to put odds on this thing.
That was Jeff Darlington on the Adam Schefter podcast in February of 2020. As we now know, thanks to Dana White and Gronk, that apparently Brady was close to a deal with the Raiders, and Gronk was coming, and that John Gruden blew up the deal. And I heard the best explanation yesterday for why John Gruden did what he did. And we can't share it with you on the air. But boy, is it true. And not only that.
Why can't you share it?
We can't say that on the air.
Yeah.
Chase, I sent the same, because I sent the cut to Ian and Caroline last night. I sent the same cut to Chase.
Can you bleep it out?
Can we kind of turn it around a little bit? Instead of saying what they said, say small and then reference the
not
body
part.
Not very
well endowed.
Yeah, can we say that?
We can say that, right?
Don't ask me.
I mean, you're like the authority figure on this right now. It actually said in Chase's vacation email that if you have any questions, you're the go-to. It's on you.
I mean, I have to listen to it again.
Oh, that's such a cop-out. Such a cop-out. So, anywho, basically it said that, you know, Gruden wants to be the star and he, you know, doesn't want his manhood to be questioned by Tom Brady. Mm-hmm. And I 100% think that that's exactly what happened.
Well, I think that's also exactly what happened with Kyle Shanahan and Tom Brady.
Oh, yes.
Butting heads.
Oh, Brady got such a hair across his ass.
Oh, 100%.
That Shanahan would dare like go over situations with him.
And Shanahan
and so
thought
Brady
the
made
thing.
Him look
I'm
bad.
The coach. You're the player.
Right.
I'll tell you what to do.
And Brady made him look bad by bringing up the Falcons Super Bowl that he screwed up and Brady won. And it's kind of like, you really want to go down with this? Because I've already schooled you once. You want to do this again?
Exactly.
And so, absolutely.
And that's such a Gruden thing, too.
Oh, Gruden's such a chotch.
Such a baby.
And
such
so,
a softie.
And if I was a Raider fan... If I was a Raider fan, like, I already hate Gruden enough for all the bad draft picks that he wasted. But, I mean, we could have Tom Brady and he screwed it up. But I went down and I looked through all these Jeff Darlington cuts that I had saved on my computer this morning. Because now I'm trying to piece together. This is the one question I want to know. Did Vrabel and Robinson choose Tannehill over Brady? Or did Brady tell them it's going to be a sweepstakes and I might pick you, I might not pick you, and that would, because to me, that absolves Robinson and Vrabel of all blame. If they picked Tannehill because they knew Tom was going to, you know, it may be the Dolphins, it may be the Raiders, it may be the Chargers, it may be the Buccaneers, he might go back to the Patriots. If I have to worry about that and I just go get Ryan Tannehill, I'll just go get Ryan Tannehill.
He's also coming off of a pretty good season.
And I don't want to put myself in that position. So this is what Jeff Darlington said. I think we got two cuts, right, Ian? This is one of the things Jeff Darlington said in February of 2020.
At this point, I'd be stunned if he returns to New England, to be very blunt about it. And I understand that people don't necessarily want to accept it. Even those close to Brady still sit there and say, yeah, but you'll walk into Bill Belichick's office. He'll lay out this master plan and all will be well again. I got to tell you, I get no sense that Brady is thinking that way. Instead, very much so, looking toward free agency. It is not as if Tom Brady is flirting with the possibility of free agency so we can ultimately come back with the Patriots. He is absolutely looking forward to free agency.
Okay, so the way Darlington made it sound was Brady is excited to be wanted.
He's excited to go on all these dates.
Yes.
He's just got out of a really long-term relationship, and he's the hottest girl in town, and he cannot wait to date all the cute guys.
Which apparently he wasn't, because the Raiders didn't want him, the Titans didn't want him, the Colts didn't want him. The Chargers decided to draft younger. I think the way I read it was the Chargers and Brady had a conversation, but ultimately the Chargers decided to go younger, and Brady kind of thought they needed to go younger, and so they did, and obviously worked out for them. And that's how he ended up on that horrible franchise and that anus of America that he ended up in. This is the second Jeff Darlington cut down the rabbit hole from February of 2020.
There are a lot of teams, guys, that are interested in Tom Brady. And Tom Brady has an interest in a bunch of teams. Sure. It's not like Tom's saying right now, like, you know, we keep bringing up the Titans. And sure. He's not looking at this and saying, if I don't go to the Titans, I'll go back to the Patriots.
Right.
He's looking at the landscape the same way, honestly, on this desk.
If that's the case, I can't blame Robinson and Vrabel for going with Tannehill.
Even if it was Titans-Patriots, I feel like even that's too much of a gamble for Mike Vrabel and John Robinson to take.
I think what the Titans needed to know, and I thought this until the Dana White thing on Saturday night, I think the Titans needed to know, Tom, do you want to come or not? And maybe the way that I had envisioned that this played out in my head, I believed that they said, Tom, Tom called Vrabel, and yes, this is tampering, and yes, I am saying the Titans did it. I don't care. I think Tom called Vrabel and said, this is what I thought before Saturday. I'm coming. If you want me, I will quarterback this team. And even though the Brady offense doesn't necessarily work with Derrick Henry, I think Tom would have been excited to play with Derrick Henry, mm-hmm. that he would have been more willing to acquiesce to, okay, we'll do, we're going to do a lot
action.
Of my stuff, but, you know, I know that I've got this beast of a running back, so I'm going to give the ball to the beast. I'm not going to sit there and say, oh, well, I need my running backs to do this. It's like, I got Derrick Henry on my team.
And I think Derrick would have loved it too.
But now with the Dana White stuff, it's like, was it, hey, Mikey, I might be interested, but I also might be interested in the Raiders. And if that's the case, then I cannot blame Vrabel, even though he knows Brady and he should have known that Brady was going to have a steel rod up his tush and go after all these teams. I can't blame Vrabel for taking the sure thing in Tannehill when it sounds like Brady wanted to go out there and test free agency.
And Jeff Darlington saying he's excited for free agency.
Right. He's excited to
test
it.
He wants to take his tour. He wants to see who wants him.
He wanted the basketball thing.
Committing didn't seem very attractive to him at that point until everyone else pulled out. And he thought, all right, well, I guess the Buccaneers are my best option now.
By the way, I was skeptical even after the Dana White thing. I was skeptical about the whole MF-er thing, that it was Carr. And then when I listened to the whole cut,
it's Carr.
It's absolutely Derek Carr. And not only that, this is the Brady persecution tour. Brady played the Raiders that next year, had four touchdowns, and ran one in, and threw for 369 yards. That's it for us. ESPN Radio's next.